Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I'm Andrew Kahn.
And I'm Ryan Zook.
On this episode, we discuss the season-ending losses for the Michigan basketball teams and what comes next for those two programs. The hockey team won the Big Ten title. Where are the Wolverines headed for the NCAA tournament? We've got you covered coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, Ryan, just the two of us here as Aaron went out to Vegas, you know, for the little NCAA tournament action and some warmth. He'll be back with us later this week, though.
We hope.
Yeah, we hope. You never know when one goes to Vegas. But the NCAA tournament, man, did you watch a ton of games? Because there were 48 on the men's side, and I caught a piece of darn near every one of them. And then with the Michigan women in it, I was on top of that one, too. It was a lot of hoops, a lot of hoops this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I caught a decent amount. I mean, it's kind of just after the first 2 days, it's like, man, I had some upsets that didn't go my way. And I kind of got basketball tournament fatigued out, and I mean that obviously there was other stuff going on with Michigan sports on Saturday and Sunday as well, so yeah, I watched a decent amount and wasn't too happy with the results. But yeah, I mean, it's been some exciting stuff, man. Like every year it's like, all right, you know what, this is the year I feel like just pick the chalk, like they're the better teams, they're gonna win, like why risk and take an underdog when the other team's supposed to win? And then it's just, you see things play out and you're like, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? And you just left disappointed after the first weekend per usual, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I lost the first game of the day on Thursday and then the second game and then the third game and was just like, geez. I mean, I went
0-3-2, I think, to start.
Yeah. I just kept lowering the bar for myself. I was like, all right, well, there goes the perfect bracket. All right. Well, you know, I haven't lost a Sweet 16 team yet. Oh, I haven't lost an Elite Eight by the end of the night. First night, I'm saying, well, at least I haven't lost my champion. And that's still true for me, at least. So there's that. You know, you got your champion, survived its first game. So, and still going. Yes, you went with Alabama when all is said and done.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, in one of my pools is with like 100, over 100 people. And like, I mean, both my champion teams are still in there, Alabama and Texas. But my other two Final Four teams are gone. Like I didn't do well in the early game. So it's like, I guarantee you someone else at least has Alabama beating Texas. The first six people win money, but like, I have a hard time. I mean, last time I looked, I was like in the 70th or something. So you never know, but I'm not liking my chances after some other of my teams are already eliminated.
Always interesting that preseason AP poll. I've talked about it though. You know, obviously the number one team, North Carolina, didn't even make the tournament, but you had some other teams there that were up there. I mean, Arkansas was 10, Creighton was 9. You know, and those two teams are kind of figuring it out now. Now, granted, some of the teams they knocked off were also, you know, up there in the preseason rankings too. So sometimes you got to decide. But you know, when you're looking for some sleepers. You know, Creighton was I think they were only a 1-point underdog in that game.
For me, I thought that Baylor, that minus one was a great play. I'm like, all right, Baylor's a better team. I feel like Creighton didn't play that well at times this year. So I'm like, this seems like a pretty easy bet for me. And I was definitely wrong on that one.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of hoops and yeah, a lot of, Michigan involved on both sides and plenty of other sports too. So I don't know, like, Where do you want to start? I feel like we've got the good, the bad, and the ugly. You want to go in that order? You want to go in a completely different order? Maybe end on a better note?
We were just talking about how poorly our NCAA tournament brackets have kind of gone so far. So, you know, let's go somewhere on a high note and talk about the hockey team.
There you go. Sounds good. Yeah, Big Ten champs beat Minnesota. How'd they do it?
They did it with a pretty... And just an impressive road performance against the top-ranked team in the country. I mean, just like last year, in a road environment, sold-out crowd in front of 10,000-plus people. Last year, they fell behind 1-0 in the first couple of minutes. They fell behind 1-0 early in this game, too. And it's like, all right, the building starts to get it into the game. The energy's there for the home team. But Michigan found a way to hang around in the first period. They didn't generate much offensively. But they kind of got a spark early in the second with freshman Rucker McGroarty tying it up. And then 30-something seconds later, he gets a fortunate carom off the end boards and kind of buries another goal. And all of a sudden, Michigan's up 2-1. And then from there, I mean, it was just fast-paced hockey back and forth. And once Minnesota scored just an absolute highlight reel goal early in the third period to take a 3-2 lead, I'm like, that could be the dagger right there. I mean, that highlight's been showed on Twitter. I saw it blow up on Twitter. I mean, the Minnesota guy just absolutely walked one of the Michigan defensemen, Stephen Holtz, and it did not look good for Holtz. And I'm like, all right, that's a huge goal there. But Michigan, again, battled back, tied it up, and took the lead with a little over 8 minutes left to go and held on for a 4-3 victory. And that's if you want to be playing, being in good teams heading into the tournament, and many people think that Minnesota is the favorite to win it all, and to beat them on the road heading into the tournament, it's got to be a pretty big momentum boost for the Wolverines.
Well, what does this mean for, you know, the head coach, Brandon Nerado, first year interim tag, to go out and win the Big Ten? I mean, is the job his?
I mean, it would not be a good look for Michigan to not give him the job. I mean, he wants it. Like I've talked to him, like he definitely wants to coach at Michigan for a long, long time. So the fact that he took over with two months before the season, had a 12-member freshman class. I mean, I'll bet it's a very talented freshman class led by Adam Fantilli, who just happens to lead the country in scoring. But to after everything that went on through the offseason, to get these 12 freshmen to get up to speed, they lost 6 of 7 scorers from last year, including 5 first-round draft picks. And the fact they're a number one seed and Big Ten champs again, I mean, how do you not make him the full-time coach? And it's not just that, too. It's the program, I feel like the culture really has changed in there. And like, it's not just what players have said, but like even behind the scenes, you can tell things have changed and things are, it's more, a more conducive environment for, I don't know, just people to be open. And you can tell on the players' faces, even at availability, like they went through a lot this year. I mean, one of their teammates almost died from complications from adenovirus. Their equipment manager passed away from cancer early in the year. I mean, they've had injuries. Only 2 players have played all 38 games this year. So they've gone through a lot, and yet they're still left as the last team standing in the Big Ten and the number one seed. So I've asked him quite a bit over the last few weeks, like anything new? And it's like, no. I mean, I know Ward Manuel kind of said like they're going through the process right now. I'm like, well, it might be time to finalize that process and make him the head coach. So we have availability this week on Monday, and I'm going to try and talk to him a little bit more about that. But it's you would think that it's his job at this point, just based off of what he's been able to do this year.
I remember talking about it when he got that interim tag, about how Michigan in a way maybe backed itself into a corner, because if they were a second, you know, kind of a second tier Big Ten team, maybe snuck into the NCAA tournament or didn't make it, or, you know, certainly didn't make a deep run, it'd be like, well, what do you do now? It was kind of like, it wasn't a bad season, but it wasn't a great one. Either of the other options, though, would make it easy. And they went in the good direction, and, you know, obviously winning the Big Ten and now headed to the NCAA tournament. So yeah, you'd think, you know, a young guy like that, and then with all the other factors you mentioned, kind of makes for a no-brainer. So where are they headed in the NCAAs?
Yeah, they are headed to Allentown, Pennsylvania, and will open against Colgate, number 4 seed, on Friday night at 8:30 p.m. So yeah, I mean, Colgate, if needed to win the ECAC, ECAC to get into the tournament, I mean, they're number 25 in the pairwise, and they went on an incredible run during their conference tournament, knocking off number 2 Quinnipiac and number 6 Harvard in the semifinals and finals. And I mean, all 4 of their 5 games in the tournament were decided by one goal, including 2 overtime games. And that was also in the championship against Harvard. So they've kind of gotten hot at the right time. I mean, definitely not loaded with a bunch of draft picks like Michigan, but they have a couple top scoring lines. They have a really good goalie, a Red Wings draft pick. But I mean, overall, I think they got a really good draw in the region. On the other side, you have Penn State, who they're 3-1 against this year, who they know really well. And then against Michigan Tech, who's had a really good year, but they're built a lot differently than Michigan. I mean, they're all about their defense and goaltending. Their goalie is a Hobey Baker Award finalist, and they definitely don't have the firepower Michigan has. So it would be a good matchup, a little in-state matchup for a chance to go to the Frozen Four. It would be pretty interesting if they both win their first games, but it's a very, very winnable regional for the Wolverines.
Very, very nice. And then I see, yeah, that would take them. They get past that Frozen Four in Tampa, which I always find kind of amusing, but I know it's been there before, at least somewhat recently. I feel like it was there.
Yeah, I think 2016 or 2015, I think. Okay. I think the last time it was there, Penn State or Ferris State was there, kind of went on a magical run to get there too. So, yeah, I mean, and who knows? It's we talked about the Big Ten Big Ten championship. I mean, it wouldn't be surprising to see Michigan and Minnesota meet in the national championship either. So, yeah, it should be a fun tournament. Yeah, a lot of good teams. It feels pretty wide open this year. So, I mean, that's pretty typically the case a lot of times in the NCAA hockey tournament. But I truly believe that this year. So, it should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, Minnesota, the number one overall seed on the completely other side of the bracket, Quinnipiac. The seeded team number 2 that they'd meet in the semis, and Denver is that who beat them in the national championship last year?
The semis. Yep. And ended up winning it all. So
on the other side with some familiar Ohio State, Western Michigan is in this thing. Yeah, should be fun. All right, that was the good. You want the bad or the ugly? I feel like you might have thought the ugly was our NCAA tournament performance, but no, that was Michigan men in the NIT. That was the ugly I was referring to.
Actually going to throw a change up in here and continue with some good here. I think we should mention that it was kind of a little bit of a championship Saturday for Michigan. I mean, they did have a wrestler, Mason Paris, who won the NCAA championship at the heavyweight. As a heavyweight, so it went 33-0 this year and knocked off the number 2 ranked guy from Penn State 3 times this season, including in the Big Ten championship and then the national championship. So I think, yeah, the 24th overall individual national championship for that program. And then, yeah, the gymnastics programs, the men won clinched the regular season title, and not surprisingly, the women won the Big Ten championship as well. So as the number 2 overall team in the country. So they're going to be aiming for their second national title. And yeah, I mean, having beaten number 1 Oklahoma earlier this month, I think, I'm sure they're feeling pretty good about their chances. So yeah, along with the Michigan hockey team win on Saturday, it was mostly good for the Michigan athletics. And yeah, not so good on the basketball court though.
Yes, I did have those written down here to get to. I mean, I was going to note you've got bylines on mlive.com this week from hockey, or this weekend from it was like a 24-hour period from hockey, men's gymnastics, women's gymnastics, football, some football stories in there, wrestling. It was, you know, some NFL transaction stuff. You were really jack of all trades in a short period of time.
Yeah.
I'm here just writing about the old basketball, but yeah, there was, you know, both the men and women's seasons came to an end. The women was last night against LSU. Michigan was the 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. The 6. LSU was the 3, got to play on its home court. I thought this game would be closer because I'm like, Michigan had struggled against the Big Ten's best, right? 0-7 against those 4 teams that got high seeds, but they weren't blowouts for the most part. Michigan wasn't fully healthy for all those games. And I wasn't sure LSU was at that level. I mean, there was a reason LSU only got a 3 seed despite two losses all year. And it's because the non-conference was weak and the unbalanced conference schedule. They only played South Carolina once, got crushed, you know, got Tennessee at home. The SEC was kind of down overall. You know, they lost to Tennessee then in a rematch in the SEC tournament. So I just wasn't sure how much they had outside of Angel Reese. First of all, it didn't really matter. She alone could win them the game. I mean, Michigan could just not keep her off the glass. So many of her
rebounds.
Yeah, most of them off her own misses. She admitted to that. She's like, you know, I got to thank myself for missing all those shots and getting the rebounds. But yeah, I mean, the numbers were not pretty. I mean, Michigan's defense was very good on LSU as far as, you know, forcing misses. They missed 44 shots. They grabbed 22 of them. That's half, you know. Like, we don't have these stats for, you know, for women necessarily, you know, the KenPom stats, but it should be no different on the men's side. And like, you know, the best offensive rebounding, you know, team in the country, you know, grabs 39% of its misses. That's Kentucky this year, like 39. This was 50%. So it was just unbelievable and really frustrating for Michigan to have that happen. You know, they only score 7 points in the first quarter. The second quarter wasn't all that better. 9. So they're just, you know, they're getting doubled up, or 8, I guess. Yeah, they're getting doubled up.
15 points at halftime. Really, yeah. Tough to win that way.
Yep. So they made a little push, you know, coming out of half. But then, you know, a couple 3-pointers from LSU and that was that. So, you know, Michigan season ends in the second round. And, you know, as I wrote this morning, like, when that's disappointing, that's a good thing. That means you're at a good place. And, you know, obviously they made deeper runs the past 2 years. Yeah, just, you know, again, not hosting and running into a, you know, very, very talented team in LSU. This was tough. So We'll see where the program goes from here. There's certainly some questions we'll face this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, tough way for kind of Leah Brown to go out too. I mean, she's been rock solid for them all year, and only 3 points on Sunday, and didn't look like she was fully healthy either. And that's just like last year when they lost Nas Hillman. That's a key piece that they're going to have to replace moving forward. But yeah, it's like you said too, I was expecting a little bit. I expected LSU to win just because I know when Michigan has faced top competition this year, they just haven't typically found a way to win consistently. But to see a 24-point loss is kind of surprising. But yeah, I mean, overall, another team that's battled injuries all year and to handle the first round opponent pretty easily and to get to the second game, we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's should be another interesting offseason.
Yeah, Brown is gone. Kaiser's gone because they already used their fifth year, their COVID year. Maddie Nolan's a senior starter who's probably gone. She hasn't said one way or the other, but you know, Kaiser hadn't either. And Nolan could potentially be back, use that extra year. But Felia's back for sure. You know, they had some freshmen that made an impact this year. They'll be back. They bring in 3 players, all ranked in the ESPN top 100. Like, there's talent. There's talent in the program. There's talent coming. Kim Barnes-Rico said, you know, doesn't seem like she's a huge fan of the transfer portal, wants to develop players over time. You know, went there last year to bring in a player from Oregon State, Greta Camp Schrader, and it, you know, she just was at a position of need and yet never really developed into much for Michigan. She didn't even play, you know, last night. So, yeah, I think they'll try to continue to do it, you know, with 4-year, you know, players recruited out of high school. The Michigan men, their season ended in, it was fitting, but also frustrating, like, because you'd seen it be so many times this year. Last minute, late game, failures, and this was probably the worst yet. They're up 8 points with a minute left. They had a chance to go up 10. Hunter Dickinson right there at the basket for a layup. He misses it, and I say, right then, they lose this game. Remember that shot? Vanderbilt comes down the other way, gets a NBA style and one. I mean, the foul was well before the shot, but they're like, yeah, we'll count it, sure. And that just starts Michigan's demise. 3 turnovers as Vanderbilt puts on a full court press, and, you know, leading to layups or fouls and made free throws, and Vanderbilt closes on a 9-0 run to win. Stun Michigan 66-65. and end Michigan's season in the second round of the NIT. Michigan holds on there. They get to host a game later this week with a spot chance to go to, you know, Vegas for the semifinals and, you know, continue their goal of trying to cut down some nets. But it did not happen. And Michigan's season ends as a result with a 18-16 record. I don't know. I heard from a lot of fans like immediately after this game, got inbox was filling up with things about Juwan and, you know, the late game stuff and, you know, the season in general. And it just seems like there was this mix of like happy the season's over, but still frustrated. Like you get into it, you know, all right, you were right there to win it. It's like, all right, we're in the NIT, let's win this thing. And it just didn't work out. I mean, Michigan down 17-5 in this game. They score the first 5 points and Vanderbilt scores the next 17. But give them credit for battling back. But then, you know, especially without Jet Howard again, Kobe Bufkin sat out this game, raising some speculation about his, you know, maybe future at Michigan. So, it was a game that was representative of the season.
Yeah, I mean, and talk about a team with a lot of offseason question marks. Like, oof, man, I mean, it seems like there could be a lot of changes on the horizon. And yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know, like as far as like the Juwan stuff goes, their late game, how they handled situations late in games this year did not work out. I don't know if that is just a one-off thing for this season, or I mean, if they can, or if it's more personnel. But it's, yeah, it's something that has to be addressed moving forward. But I mean, I don't know if one off year you can just say, all right, time to move on. I mean, so it's going to be an interesting offseason, but I don't think that you can, all right, the program's on fire now and you need to make drastic changes.
When you rank, you know, in the bottom of the, near the bottom of the country in the 300s in, you know, experience, you know, as far as just the age, well, you know, like the class standing of your players, like that's tough to overcome. And they had, you know, multiple freshmen in their rotation and, you know, a sophomore, they had the two graduate transfers, you know, contributing, just the one by for most of the season with Jalen Llewellyn injured. So yeah, I get that. And especially, you know, in the backcourt, the guys handling the ball, they were all young, true freshmen at point guard. So, that's a factor. But, you know, certain things, you're putting the ball in Terrence Williams' hands, asking him to break the press late in that game, probably, you know, you that's not setting your players up for success. So, yeah, a lot of questions. It starts with just the roster, you know, who's coming, who's going. Jet Howard, I've said it, I expect him to be gone. Kobe Bufkin, if he gets a first round grade, like we're seeing him projected in mock drafts, typically players don't stay in school when that's the case. So we'll see. If he's borderline and Jet Howard leaves, he could say, all right, I'm going to get more responsibility next year. I can improve my stock. Hunter Dickinson, I don't know. He flirted with the NBA the last 2 years. I'm not sure the NBA wants to flirt back. So like, is it overseas? Is it G League? Or is it another year at Michigan and some NIL money? I mean, that's what he's going to have to weigh. Right. Every program loses one, two, or more players every offseason to transfer. Michigan has been, you know, no exception under Juwan Howard. So, you know, I'm not going to speculate on who those players might be. You never know. No one would have thought Frankie Collins was one of those guys that was going to leave last year, but he did. So there's that. You know, there's a transfer portal. They've already been in contact with certain guys, you know, a power forward at Wofford, who, you know, is a good scorer in the post and can step out and shoot the three. He seems like he'd be an upgrade at that power forward spot for Michigan. So it's an important offseason for Juwan because, you know, you want to prove, like you said, yeah, you want to prove that this year was sort of an aberration, a blip, not like, all right, we're trending now in that direction. So, some questions to be answered about the roster, and then we'll see what, you know, where the pieces fall from there.
What were they ranked in the preseason again?
22.
All right.
But again, you know, people like me, dopes voting on this thing. There are certainly, like I said, you know, for all those teams that kind of did put it together late, you know, the Arkansas, the Creightons, you know, that was Michigan last year too, a top 10 team that then got to the Sweet 16. You know, this year, yeah, more in the back end of the rankings, and Yeah, it was, as we discussed, it was like, it was a fine line between being, you know, let's look at the Big Ten. There's now one team standing in the Big Ten men's basketball tournament, in the NCAA men's basketball tournament, which is just unbelievable. And that team is Michigan State, you know, with Purdue going down. And, you know, they Michigan was in a similar boat to even Michigan State or Iowa or Illinois or Penn State or Northwestern. These teams that got 7, 8, 9, 10 seeds, you know, their resume wasn't quite as good. So instead of, you know, just getting, you know, being among the last teams in, you know, they were among the last teams out. And then, you know, kind of doing the NIT, what they'd done all year. I don't think motivation was a question, at least for those guys who are on the court. But, you know, again, just, you know, just something that had happened all year, you know, reared its ugly head again, and ended their season. So yeah, it'll be important off season, and you know, we'll continue to monitor it all. All sorts of sports covered on this podcast. Was there anything we didn't mention? I don't know. The field hockey team dipping in the transfer portal for somebody. I don't know. Yeah. Like, we hit on so much.
Yeah, no, I think that's good for the day. I mean, obviously there was pro day last week, but there's nothing earth-shattering coming out of that. So, I mean, they did drills and they talked about it and they want to be drafted in as high as they can be.
sure.
But yeah, I mean, spring football is still going on. It was a big recruiting weekend this past weekend, including the 5-star quarterback Jaden Davis back on campus. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some 2024 commits here coming up. And they, I forget, they actually, another part of Sunday is they landed another commit in the 2023 class too. A guy that a 4-star athlete who was committed to Notre Dame, backed out of his NL or got released from his NLI. And Michigan kind of scooped him up, and yeah, it looks like he's probably going to play safety for Michigan, a top 250 nationally prospect. So a nice little late addition there for the Wolverines, and they'll look to keep the recruiting momentum in future classes. It sounds like they built a lot over this weekend, and we'll have more throughout spring practices and at the spring game as well.
All right, well, we'll be on top of it all on MLive.com/Wolverines and here on the Wolverine Confidential podcast. Thanks for listening.